Blog Talk Radio.
From Tampadelphia, Eagles fans everywhere, welcome back. Tuesday night, the Tampadelphia radio show Talking Eagles. My name is Paul, based here in Tampa, Florida, home of the Tampadelphia Eagles, the largest Eagles fan club in the Tampa Bay area. Well, we did it again. Another win. The Eagles win 20-16 over the Colts, and we saw a lot of good things in that game. I don't know if you were paying attention, but I'm starting to get some trends. 4 years now, over all my years of Eagles fandom, I have always said that you really don't know what team you have till after the first four games. Then they have an identity. You can get a feel for how they're going to play, who's going to be good throughout the season, the key guys on both sides of the ball. And once again, our defensive line comes through and the defense saves the game for us. They stopped the Colts on several occasions and prevented them from scoring touchdowns, instead forcing them to kick field goals. But let's go back to the bigger picture for a second. We had an old friend return, Frank Reich, and it was good to see him on the sidelines. He looks great. His team is coming along. They're 1 win and 2 losses now at this point of the season, but I think that he's going to do a good job. I think the Colts are a team to watch simply because of Frank Reich. He learned a lot in his previous head coaching jobs, but being with Doug and the Eagles, I think, just gave him that little extra, and I think he's going to be a performer. I would like to see that personally. We also had the return of number 11, Carson Wentz. Carson played a good game. I know a lot of people are saying, wow, he looked bad. He threw an interception. He was running the ball a lot. And, you know, there's reasons for what we saw on that screen. Carson Wentz played a good game. Yeah, he was a little rusty. But Carson Wentz, he's a tough competitor. When this guy was out injured, I think he grew in rehab. I think he's playing a harder, more determined game out there than he did before, if that's possible to say. He was stretching for yards. He was running end-to-end down the line, looking for breaks to when he had to hold the ball or take off. He made some plays happen before. Yeah, he tried to force a pass, and it cost him. But he ended up with 255 yards, which is respectable for his first game back, but he was 67% on his accuracy. He's got great vision. He's a big man, as I mentioned before. He's 6'5", at least, I think, and all our quarterbacks are, which puts him over the head of the lineman, his lineman, anyway. And Carson Wentz, I think talking with the guys during rehab, he was able to get a little bit more inside their heads, create more of a bond and relationship with these guys. Carson Wentz is also a big fan of film study, too. And he's such a student of the game from what I've been following. He really absorbs film, breaks it down. He wants to do it like Jaworski does, I suppose, and Greg Cosell out at NFL Films. And do I dare stick my neck out and, well, why not? I do that every show, don't I? I'm saying that I think we got another Brett Favre in Carson Wentz. I think he's that good. Brett Favre was a guy who really, really created an identity for the Green Bay Packers and elevated the team and the impression of the team. The identity, the persona of the Packers grew under Brett Favre. And I think that's what Carson Wentz is going to bring to the Eagles. The purpose of the show is for you to call in and tell me your points of view, what you think is important, offense, defense, any point you want to make, you've got 60 seconds. Join me. If you can hear my voice on Blog Talk Radio, the call-in number is 657-383-1614. 657-383-1614. You can also try to reach me at my email, which is paul@tampadelphia.com. Tampadelphia is Tampa with Adelphia on the end of it. And paul@tampadelphia.com, I'll catch up to that. But if you want to reach us in the studio here live, real time, 657-383-1614. Pardon me. Back to the big picture. I've got to learn to use the mute button, gang. I'm still just nailing down the gig. I produce radio shows, so I don't have the demands of speaking all the time and thinking and planning all simultaneously. It's sort of like editing while you're writing, and it's a very hard thing to do, but it's a lot of fun. And you have to excuse me. I bolted down some dinner so I could get in here and open up the show. Going back to the big picture, another guy we had back was Jason Peters. And Jason Peters, the offensive line had some breakdowns. They had some miscues. I know they wanted to do really well for Carson. And they had other protections in place for Carson Wentz, whether it was a receiver or a running back or a tight end. They had protections. And the whole idea was to get the ball out fast so that Carson wouldn't be hit. He could escape any kind of a situation, but he did pretty good. Even when he held long sometimes. He still made plays, which is interesting. And he's just got a great line of vision on the field, but he goes through his progressions very quickly, which is one of the reasons why you saw Perkins get the passes he got. Perkins wasn't the primary receiver on those plays, folks. Perkins was the check down guy. It got down to Perkins. Either the other guys were covered or the rush was happening and Perkins was the next guy up and he got the ball. And he had a strong game. And that kept some drives alive for us. So I think he's a guy that we've got to watch, this guy Perkins. The wide receivers are kind of You know, Jordan came back but didn't make that big of a splash. Nelson is still drawing coverage. Alshon Jeffrey is day-to-day. And even then, it may take him a game or two to get his legs back, even after he goes out. Perkins, I think, is the go-to guy in that situation. And, you know, Matt Collins is still – well, he's out. So, pardon me. The big thing is that the Eagles won. The defense did it for us, but I want to stay on the offense just a little bit longer. I want to give a shout out to Dallas Goedert. The guy was perfect for the game. 7 for 7, 73 yards and 1 TD. That's respectable. That's also his first NFL TD, I think. He did very, very well. Zach Ertz came in. He kept a few drives alive and, you know, Zach Ertz is leading all the tight ends in the NFL right now. I think we are just super lucky at that position, aren't we? It seems like we always have been. If you go all the way back to the old Eagles back in the 70s under Vermeil, you know, we've always had good tight ends all the way along the line. So, but Carson was a little bit rusty. He had some overthrows. He was sacked 5 times. That was on the offensive line. But he's mobile. And guys are going to get through. And you got to give credit to the Colt defensive line. They had some guys break free of coverage, go around the end, and go all the way back to the center of the line and nail Carson Wentz. So it's very similar to what we see Cox do against opposing teams. Well, that happened to us with one or two of their guys. And they just made a good play. The plays fall apart like that because of either – the wide receivers are covered so well, it's a coverage sack, or the fact is that you know, we just can't. The coverage is too tight. Opponents, the talent on the other team is good. It is the NFL, right? Everybody's trying for parity. Let's get about 24 teams stuck in the middle type of thing. And but everybody's playing for that, and everybody's got a few good guys. So we've got enough of that there too. I'll tell you who else was impressive on the offense. We had the running back stepping up very, very big. Smallwood, 10 carries, 56 yards, 5.5 yards average, 5.6 to be exact. Smallwood, he didn't play since last December. He comes in and he rips out 10 carries for 56 yards. But important carries, right? Clutch carries. I'll tell you who else we have in addition to Wendell Smallwood since Jay is out. Adams. What do you know about Josh Adams? He had an average of 5 yards per carry too. He's 6'2", 225. This guy's a load to bring down. He's linebacker size. And Josh Adams looks like he's going to be playing a lot of ball for the Eagles, I think. I think that Josh Adams and Perkins are going to be our two surprises of this coming season, our two dark horses. I think we're in good shape on the offense as they find their stride and they start to get their rhythm going and start to gel. I think by game 4, these guys will be better than they are now. And, you know, barring the injury, right, if we can keep going with this same crew all the way up to game 12, I think we're going to see a heck of a good unit on offense with the Philadelphia Eagles. Speaking of injuries, you know that the big three things that I'm always facing. First one is injuries, second one is heat, and the third one is the refs and their flags. We're going up to Tennessee. I'm in Florida. We're going down to Tennessee this weekend, and we're going to be back in the heat. It's not going to be as bad as what we faced in Tampa. My God, the heat. It's still hot here, folks, as you know, if you live here. You feel your skin fry when you're in the sun for about 10 or 15 minutes. You just got to get out of the direct line of the sun. And I feel for all the people who came down here for the Eagles game and ended up with heat stroke because they didn't lather up with sunblock. They didn't have hats. They didn't have water. They weren't hydrated enough, whatever the situation. Maybe I should have talked about that a little bit more when I was selling tickets to the game. But I had mentioned to the group in Tampa, Delphia on Sunday that I will never again buy tickets for an Eagles game in Tampa if the game is in September or October. Not happening. Only November or December. And believe it or not, I got applause. So it was our first 1 o'clock game, by the way, this past Sunday. We actually overcapacitated the room. I heard they turned people away, which upsets me greatly. I was on the phone with our general manager today advising him that my job is to put him in the seats. Your job is to sit them down and serve them. We need a plan B to get more people in there when we get overflow situations like that. So I apologize to everybody that may have been turned away this past Sunday by the staff at the Crown Plaza on Kennedy. They mean well. They do have certain situations that they have to maintain. But you know what? It's a hotel. We got to get people in there, and we got to get people together as an Eagles group. So there's a lot that we're working on with these fellas. They heard an earful from me today, and I'll tell you what, it's going to be an improved Sunday this coming weekend at the ground. But back to that. Doug Peterson still scripts the plays on offense like Andy did, but he doesn't script the first 200,000 plays like Andy did. He's keen on game adjustments. He likes the chess of it, the back and forth. He watches a lot of film. He keeps things in perspective, but he keeps it moving. I got a feeling that Doug Peterson is mentally very quick, whereas Andy may not have been. And I think that's the difference between the two coaches. I always said that Andy Reid was a 35-mile-an-hour guy and a 75-mile-an-hour job. Maybe that was accurate. But Doug Peterson, he does script the first plays, but then he calls them in shortly after that. He wants to see what the Colts were giving him. He practices for the game situation, right? During the week before the game, he'll try to mimic what he thinks they're going into. And for the players that may not get the reps during the game, this is amazing. He brings them in, him and the assistant coaches. He brings the players in that'll pretty much ride the bench during the game. And he lets them practice in those game conditions. If you haven't noticed it, whenever a player for the Eagles comes in off the bench, he's usually pretty well prepared. And it's been that way for a few seasons now. I mean, we get good production out of our twos and threes, right? And that comes from coaching. Doug gives his coaches, his assistant coaches, a lot of rope. He does not micromanage his coaches. He lets the coaches coach. He watches what's going on. He talks to the key coaches to find out how their squads are doing and what they might need. He'll stress certain things in the film preparation. So when the guys are in there, the squads pretty much know what they've got to do. Then he backs it up with reps for the backups. And what else can he do? The guy's a teaching coach, and he is a rehearsal coach. And it's showing on the field. Now all we have to do is get the stamina to beat the heat. Maybe we got to go back to that pickle juice, right? Doug said something on one of his press conferences that I heard that he would like to see us do a better opening drive. Well, the first two games, the Eagles really didn't have an opening drive. In fact, they didn't even have an opening first half. It seemed like the Eagles really didn't play the game until the third quarter on game number one and game number two. They were suspiciously quiet when they should have been scoring points. There's reasons for that, I'm sure. I don't know what they are, and that game is over. So I'm not going to waste another second talking about it. But I would like to see us come out here and put points up kind of early, take the lead, and keep it. Not too much to ask, but I think we're going to get there if we're not there already. I think the squad we have is respectable, and I think it's very potent. I think we have a formidable offense. Our offensive line, you know, if they can maintain themselves in the heat of Tennessee, I think Carson can have a good game. But if our guys start wearing out, because remember, we've got two veterans on that line, and Kelsey and Peters, and those guys they run out of water fast. Their legs get tired fast. They feel their extra weight faster in the heat. Usually by the third quarter, fourth quarter, those guys are gassed. And while I talk about the strength of our bench coming in, it's hard to replace an all-pro, right? So what's your thoughts on that? It'd be interesting to hear if you think the performance of the offensive line is a key point, a key factor to beat Tennessee. And if it is, how are we going to do in the heat with our guys? I don't think Doug knows the team yet. I know I don't. But after four games, I'm pretty sure we'll know what we have. They're still building their identity. They're still blocking and protecting for Carson. They've got to stabilize that. He's running through his progression. He's hitting guys. He's making plays happen. He ran and took off more than a few times during the game. He slid. They were safe slides. I don't think the Colts were out to hit him or hurt him. They played a very clean game. When they did get to him, they didn't just push him down onto the ground, you know, as an NFC East opponent might do. But I think that was one of the advantages of having Frank Reich in this particular game. I think we got lucky on that. Frank was a good guy. He knows Carson Wentz. Of course, he knows all the Eagles, right? So he's not going to do anything malicious or evil to our team. So I'm thankful for that. And hats off to Frank Reich. Anytime you're in town, Coach, if you need a cold one, you know where to find us at Tampadelphia, right? You've always got a chair in Tampadelphia. So we have, you know what, we're about a third of the show over. And normally I would have had an advertisement or two by now. And if you're interested in reaching the people of Tampadelphia, we have a variety of different ways you can advertise on our show to get your message out, whether you have a product or a service, whether it's your company or whether you just work there. Build your identity. If people know you in the room, if you want to, you know, just grow. You can advertise with us very, very inexpensively. You can give me your ad. You can write something out. I'll be happy to broadcast that. If you've got a jingle, or even if you've got a regular commercial, we can handle that here. We have capability. I do not have a production studio per se, but I've used them and hired them before for certain television shows that we've done. And I know a lot of people in that business sector here in the Tampa Bay area. So, but this is radio. So the best we would need is a good sound booth to be able to cut an audio piece for you. Tampadelphia has a good reach. We've got a good crowd. We completely maxed out our room again. We had 136 on our opening night for a Thursday night. That's powerful. That's respectable. That's Eagles commitment. And if you're in Tampadelphia, you know one of the things that I appreciate and really, really, I just admire commitment. Commitment takes focus and it takes follow-up. Two very difficult things for people. That's how you get things done, though, because excuses don't bring results. So if you've got a commitment to something, you're after something, and if you're determined to get it, that commitment is what gets it for you. So if you have that commitment and dedication to your business, the way that we Tampadelphia folk do to our game days, then we're a good fit for you. So if you want to, please drop me a line, paul@tampadelphia.com, and we can discuss, you know, some options and choices you might have, and you can see if it's something you want to get involved in. I've noticed that our statistics are showing more listeners every week, if not in real time, then certainly, on the archived show. We're archived on blogtalkradio.com. Just go to do a search for Tampadelphia. And you'll find our shows, and you can play them back, listen to them. We're not perfected yet. I decided to broadcast live, even with all the goofs and the lack of polish. As we continue the show in the days, weeks, months ahead, we'll be a lot better. I'm learning off of my audio. I'm polishing what I do. And hopefully the result for you, the listener, will be a little bit more to think about, because that's what we want to do. So if you have something to say that you think we should take note of and think about, again, 657-383-1614. Repeat, 657-383-1614. All righty. Tampadelphia, by the way, if you don't know, is at the Crown Plaza on Kennedy, in the West Shore area of Tampa. It's very close to West Shore Mall, and it's in between the Howard Franklin Bridge and West Shore Mall on Kennedy. And we will be in Mojitos. We may not be in Mojitos this coming weekend. We may be in one of the ballrooms like we were for Super Bowl. The crowd size is demanding and dictating. They want to come in and hang with us. So you know what? We're going to do that. It's still too hot to open up the pool area, but I do want to mention to you that with Tampadelphia, you do get a couple of perks. Your family is more than welcome to use the pool while you're in watching the game. If your dad, or even if your mom and you want to watch the game and let dad watch the kids, go ahead. Same thing with a workout room. You have amenities available to you in Tampadelphia to make your game day a little bit better. We have our own menu. We have plenty of parking, plenty of AC. We have bright, clean well-maintained, well-lit restrooms for ladies and men. We have the food is fresh. It's not frozen and fried. So you pay a little bit more for it, but usually your food is pretty good. It's a cut above, a little bit better. So if you want to step out and take advantage of the menu, you can. We've got things that are just not that expensive, all the way to a full platter for $12, $13. So it's not super expensive, but at the same time, for a midday meal, it's very satisfying, and they've got quite a choice. So that's there. We've got free wine and beer specials all the time as well, too, as well as soft drinks for the kids. And there's no dues, no cover, no fees. Just come on in, wear your green, and cheer with us. We want the family. We want the family atmosphere and environment. So if you've got a young one and you want to teach them the game, bring them. If you've got a business associate and you want to enjoy a sporting event, bring them. We could be your place. So we have very relaxing and comfortable game days, but they do get loud and noisy because we cheer a lot, because the Eagles score a lot, and we sing, and we're not that good, but we sing anyway, and we like it. So Tampa Delphi is at the Crown. If you can join us, stop by anytime the Eagles are playing. You will find us there. Make sure you come by, find me, Paul, say hello, we'll shake hands, and I'll welcome you home. So back to the Eagles. We're almost halfway through the show. I think it's time for us to talk about the defense. But before we do that yet, I think we still need a little work on our wide receivers. Once we get our wide receivers down, if we can add another gun on the outside, which may be Perkins, I think we're going to see the offense open up every single game. I think about it. We've got two really good tight ends, right? Ertz is a known quantity. Goddard, the expectations are high, but the results are coming in, and sure enough, he looks pretty darn good. Perkins looks every bit like Trey Burton or better, right? So that's there. Adams, just like Blount, a big back, but with speed. He's a big guy. He's got a lot of size, but he's got speed. He can turn the corner. He can turn the edge and go upfield to get your yards. Smallwood, is he another McCoy? That's something to think about. There's a little comparison. I mean, the guy's been out a lot, so we really don't have an answer to that. But it's just a little something to think about when you're watching him play. And when you get an Aguilar and a Jeffrey and a Perkins, and you've got an Adams, and you've got an Ajayi, a running back, and you got a Smallwood, and now you've got Wentz back there again as well, too. Hey, Wentz, with his competitive drive, with his passion for film, to play the game as well as he could possibly play it, or as well as it can be played, he's going to be going up to his guys, and he's going to be putting that same spark into them too. I mean, he just lights up the rest of the guys around him. That's what he does. So you got to love a guy like that, and that's why I called him another Favre. I think he can carry the lead. I really do. So that said, congratulations to Dallas Goedert again, and congratulations to Smallwood on some pretty good games. As far as the defense goes, that's where we won the game. If you look at the replays enough, you'll see that there were some outstanding plays by our defensive line. And now I'm going to give you the big thing of the night. I don't know how far back you go with your Eagles experience. I go back to the early 1960s. I want to just mention that when we had Reggie White and Jerome Brown under Buddy Ryan, those two guys were the force of the NFL as far as defensive linemen. Those two guys changed the game. They changed the flow of the game. Coaches prepared their game plan just for those two guys. If you don't know who Reggie White was, or if you don't know who Jerome Brown was, these were dominant linemen. They had size, they had strength, they had speed, and they also had smarts, and they had a lot of passion to kick ass. I'm sorry, did I just say that? Excuse me. The reality is that those two guys were just a machine grinding up offensive lines and quarterbacks. And they made a lot of good things happen for the Eagles way back in the day when they were on the field. Fletcher Cox, I think these guys are the next Reggie White and Jerome Brown. What? What, Paul? What you saying? I'm saying that Cox and Barnett are the new Reggie White and Jerome Brown. Fletcher Cox is on a tear. Fletcher Cox for a defensive tackle. This man is just in midseason form already. He's breaking apart the blocking and getting to the quarterback. He had a few hits and hurries on Luck in key situations. Clutch. Barnett. Did Barnett have 1.5 sacks? Yes, he did. Did Cox have 0.5 sack? Yeah. So between those two guys, they had a lot of hits, hurries, and sacks between those two. And now we've got other guys on the line that are supposed to be there. You know, Nagata comes in. You got Michael Bennett is going to get around to it at some point. But Chris Long played an outstanding game. I mean, he came through big. So I think he's the third member of this defensive line that is just showing themselves to be somebody. Yeah, these guys are to be reckoned with. And I'm sure they're giving offense coordinators a little bit of a shiver or a nightmare. Those guys on the defensive line controlled not only the completions and the yards, they shaved points off the game, and they also controlled the clock because it forced the opposing team to do something that they ordinarily may not have done. But because of who these guys were. Now, you didn't hear that much about the Eagles linebackers. Hicks is a very, very smart linebacker. He calls the defensive signals. And Hicks was back out on the field. Glad to see him playing. But we had two guys that played very, very big. We have two very solid defensive backs in Darby and Mills. Now, Mills had a big game again. Now, I know that, you know, he gets flags. He's aggressive. And I know that he gets, you know, toasted every once in a while. They all do. Forget it. Jalen Mills is an aggressive, heads-up, smart, fast, quick defensive back that's going to go to try and make the play every single time. And, you know, the value of Jalen Mills is that he shrugs it off. When he goofs or makes a mistake, he shrugs it off. He doesn't carry it around. And that's what you need with these guys, because when they start going, oh, man, I really screwed up. I wish I could get better. What do I got to do to get – and they stop, and they stand still or slow down, and the game passes them by, and then they got to catch up. No, no good. You got to keep running alongside of it. You got to stay in it and stay with it. Mills does. And Mills is a 75-mile-an-hour player in a 75-mile-an-hour game. So I'm glad to see Jalen Mills out there, along with Ronald Darby. Jalen Mills is a target because they think that they can get flags on Jalen Mills. And it happens. But these two guys play very, very well. So you add those two guys in the defensive backfield. Now you throw in Jenkins, who's not too shabby, right? And McLeod, he's back there. He's not too shabby either. So we've got three very good performers in the defensive backfield. We've got Hicks holding up the center, and we've got two guys with Cox and Barnett bringing the pressure up front. The defense may be a little bit further along in their development and their productivity right now than the offense, but that's typically how it goes. Usually the offense is slower to get to be good you know, except Chip Kelly's offenses, which, you know, I think it was they scored 50 points in the first quarter almost every game, it seems. I was just joking on that one. But, you know, the Eagles offense is catching up to the defense, but the defense is really marking time until the offense can pull it together. And we've seen that over the years. You got to look big picture on this, guys. The Eagles over the years have had this happen where the defenses have kept the team in the game until the offense came around and pulled their act together. That happened many times in the Andy Reid years. It certainly happened with Buddy Ryan, right? And it certainly happened with Dick Vermeil. Vermeil had some pretty good clubs too. So if you, however far back you want to go with this, you'll find proof. You'll find proof. So, but I want to go back to Jalen Mills for a minute because we saw teams do something that they've done the first 2 weeks, throwing the long ball against us. They dinked and dunked in the middle a little bit, but we got to the play very quick. And they threw the long ball. We play man defense. So we've got to give some cushion. They're going to make some catches on us. It's a bend but don't break kind of a thing. I think we're coming back to that on our defense. We all know that we've had the bend but don't break defenses. And the Eagles are a good defensive club between the 20s. When you get within the red zone, the Eagles are a nasty, stingy, ugly club to play against. They don't give you much of anything because the field is short. They're playing man. We've got youth. We've got size. We've got speed. We've got an attitude. We've got a Super Bowl ring on our fingers that says, yeah, we got what it takes. And we've got excellent coaching. Excellent coaching. Jim Schwartz and his coaches are pretty crafty and cagey, and I respect them from here to the sky. I'll tell you, I'm delighted with our coaches. And that's one of the advantages that the Eagles have that I think a lot of people don't talk about are the success of the coaches, the quality of the coaches. Because as the coaches go, go the team. You know, the old expression, the fish stinks from the head down. Well, if it's good, it's good from the top down or the bottom up, any way you want to look at it. But the Eagles have it. And I'm more impressed with Doug Peterson, even more so now than I was last year, which by the end of last year, I think all of us were convinced that Doug is the next great coach, and he very well may be. We can expect to lose a lot of assistant coaches over the next few years. I think that's going to happen. I think we're going to have to keep pushing the next guy up quite often. Mike Groh did a good job as OC, but Jim Schwartz, I think Jim wants to stay in Philadelphia with Doug, and I think he wants to get 3 or 4 Super Bowl rings. And that's an achievement not done by many. That's a lot better than going off and being the head coach for your own team and not going anywhere for the next 5 years. Surely I would choose the Super Bowl ring route if I was an assistant coach and I had that blessing to be able to be in that job and have that chance and that choice. So maybe you would agree. If you do, give me a call. Let me know. 657-383-1614. Right about now, we're coming into the final 20 minutes of the show, and we would have another advertisement. I've already mentioned Tampadelphia, and I'm not going to give them another free plug, but one of the things I do want to mention about Tampadelphia is the fact that people are coming in and are finding new people, new friends from where they came from. It's something we actively do. I introduced some brand new couple, first time in. They just moved down. They found us, heard about us. They came in. They were from Delaware. I immediately took them over to other people from Delaware that I knew. Hey, get some chairs. Join us. There it was. The magic was happening. So that's fun when you and your wife are going out and you're actually meeting new people. You know, our age range is quite wide at Tampadelphia. And We have a lot of 20-somethings. We truly do. We have a lot of brand-new parents that are in their 30s. We have a lot of grandparents that are in their 50s and 60s and even the 70s, I'm sure. But, you know, we've got a lot of – they're all Eagles fans. Doesn't matter. It's all Eagles fans, and that's one of the nice things about it. It, you know, all the pettiness just goes away. I don't care about your car, your bank book, your house. I don't care about any of the demographics. I don't care any of the things that you're supposed to be. When you walk in, we're just an Eagles fan. So, you know, that makes us extended family. We've got a pretty good schedule coming up the rest of the year. It's going to be a little bit challenging, and you know we're going to get everybody's best game against us. So I have to go back to the injury thing. I certainly hope that our trainers are up for the extra work that they're going to have this year, getting guys back, and our medical staff. We've proven it to lose a lot of guys, haven't we? I mean, look who we have lost and have not had on the field. Quite a few guys on offense and a few guys on defense that we do need on the field to be able to sustain our path to another Super Bowl. And it's early in the season and they're not quite in. So they're getting nicked and dinged already. I think some of that has to do with the heat that they hit in Tampa. But that's just a personal opinion. So going back to the Eagles defense and the way the coaches are preparing them. You know, the offense in practice will pretend to be the other team's offense. So our defense, when the ball is snapped, they're actually rehearsing what to do against that particular club, that particular opponent. And if you've ever seen an Eagles practice at Widener or Lehigh or any of the places they've practiced, NovaCare over the years, you'll always see a lot of assistant coaches, a lot of trainers, and a lot of other people around them that you wonder why they need all those guys and why they're there. Some of them are just there to show you where to finish your route or where to drive the play, where to – in other words, they're spots. They're markers on the field for the squad that's practicing. And they help the twos and threes get it in their head so that they can build the habit correctly with the right execution on the play. Make sense? And it comes back to the coaches that we have and the method of coaching that they do. I should get a friend of mine on the show who actually does coach NFL teams and get his opinion and his thoughts on what he does when he's out there actually coaching real live NFL players for different clubs. He can give us a lot of insight on that. Well, the Eagles won. Looking ahead, we're going up to Tennessee to play the Heat. Looking back past Indianapolis, we played two pretty tough teams on the first two games, right? You'd agree that Atlanta was a tough team, playoff team. And you probably agree now, especially after the Monday night game, that the Bucks are coming along pretty quick. They are a surprise team this year. They won their first two games, and they almost won their third late in the game, right? So they're coming along pretty good. It's good that we got them out of our way this season already. We lost to them when we could have probably had that game, but, you know, always – woulda, shoulda, coulda. So let's not even waste a second talking about woulda, shoulda, coulda, but let's just say that we lost to a good club. So I think we take the Titans. And we're 2-1 right now. I think we end up 3-1, which is where I had hoped we would be after the first four games. Although I expected the loss to the Falcons and not the Bucks. But we seem to be on track, but we're getting our guys back. Our coaches are doing a wonderful job of getting guys ready. Our assistant coaches, guys like Deuce, let's not lose sight of those guys and the job that they do. Deuce is an amazing coach. He's turned out to be quite a coach, as a matter of fact. And Deuce has earned every attaboy he's got, every raise, every bonus, every promotion, and every title. Doug lets his assistant coaches coach. He tells them what he wants, and he walks away. He doesn't micromanage. And he has a lot of faith in his guys. And then he checks back in to see where they're at, as I had mentioned earlier in the show. And it's guys like Deuce that produce the result that we see on the field. All Doug does is think through the process of the game so that he can better adjust and pull out the right play, which very often is based on a situation. It's a cat and mouse game. When he's throwing the ball and the Colts put in a nickel defense protection against those passes, he'll turn to a running offense and he'll go large and he'll run, right? And until they bring in their running defense. So Doug's always working what he calls his top 12 or 13, which are the guys he relies on the most based on what's going on right now on the field. He's a real-time coach, and I think he interprets extremely well. I don't know how he sees what he sees from the 50-yard line. I've been on the sidelines during a football game, and it's hard to see the other half of the line that's not on your side of the field. They must be looking at something very, very specific. And if anybody has any, any insight on that, let's hear it, because that is a point that I'd really love to talk about. How coaches coach, what they do. So our defense may have to save the game for us again, but I think Carson Wentz has a lot of confidence back after this game. He came out, he played a good game, not his best, but it's okay. He got us through. His numbers were respectable. He's got his team back, and he's got them producing. And Carson Wentz when he needed to, he produced the drives. He ate the clock. Him and Doug worked on the offense. Doug called the plays. Carson got it done. Carson made any adjustments he needed to make as he went through his progressions. And we scored. We won. We got the final. We got the final points. Once again, we missed another kick on special teams. Is this going to be every week? I mean, think about it. Are we going to have that oh no moment every single Sunday or whenever we play? So, if you are coming to Tampa Delphia this weekend, I want you to know that there will be some changes probably on some things from last week. We were a little bit short on staff, and it took a while to get your order in. I apologize to you if that was the case. Please don't let that stop you from coming back and enjoying some good football with us. There will be some additional help on to cover that. And also, there may be a buffet, which may negate the problem entirely. So I'm not quite sure how it's going to play out. I'll be talking about that this week. And I just wanted to give you a heads up on what to expect. And I'll have more for you when I'm on air Thursday. By the way, I am going to lose one of the Thursday shows because I will be working the polls. The polls are open until 7 o'clock for early voting. And we don't get out of there until about 7:30, and then I have to get home. So by the time I get home, the show would be wrapping up, and I'm not going to go on at 8 o'clock after a long day, with a 5 o'clock or 4:30 wake up. So I'll just bag it that Tuesday or that Thursday, depending on whatever the schedule overlaps. Also, I unfortunately will not be able to attend the Jaguars game at the Crown. I was really looking forward to that. A 9:30 game with coffee instead of beer. I mean, gosh. But it's got to be. I will be deep in the polls, and as I had mentioned to us in the room, that if anybody shows up with your portable device and the Eagles are on, please come by. Come by and vote. Lay your device down on the counter so I can see it while I while I check your registration and make sure you're a valid voter, or whatever I'm doing there at the precinct at that moment, because there's about six or seven jobs that we all rotate. And it would be great to be able to catch a little Eagles football or maybe a score, right? So please feel free to come by after the game, because I will be there until 7 o'clock at night. And boy, any information I can get that particular game day, I think it's Saturday, would be most appreciated. So I don't want to take up too much of the Titans chat. I still have a show to do Thursday night about that. I can tell you that the guys that are out right now, Alshon Jeffrey, AJ, they're day-to-day. They're not cleared for contact yet, which means they're certainly not cleared to play. It's not that serious. I mean, they're mostly through their rehab. They're coming back. It's just a question of getting them back into the game. I think the Eagles are going to be a stronger team as we go through the year. I think not just the injuries, the injured players coming back, but also I think some of the guys we haven't seen yet are going to step up and play a big role for us. We got lucky. We had that last year. But I'll tell you, Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas have been finding talent. I don't know why we're getting them. Maybe nobody else is seeing what these guys are seeing, but they must be looking at it with a third eye, because we're getting guys that are coming and producing. And maybe it's Doug. Maybe no matter who they got, they would perform for us because of the way Doug's coaching them up. But the bottom line is that these guys are coming out of nowhere. They're getting them, and they're using them, and they're giving them a chance to show what they can do and excel. And we're seeing more and more of that throughout the season. It's only been 3 games, but we've seen that twice already with Smallwood and Adams. Dallas Goedert certainly didn't. We weren't really sure what we had until the kickoff at Atlanta, you know, and the Atlanta game. And we're going to see a lot more of that. And I think that's the reason why we're probably going to end up with a minimum of 10 wins, maybe 11 wins this year. Would be nice to have 12, but, you know, come on, let's be real, right? We're going to have a hard season. We're going to lose more guys. We're going to have some heartbreaking games where they're just going to get away from us, typical Eagles fashion. Maybe we're not going to win the game in that final minute like we have been. But I'll tell you, the Indianapolis game is the type of game that you look back on as you're playing game number 15 of your season, and you say, you know what, that was a game that was a defining game because we won that game. We came back and we won. And we won that game when maybe it was easy to just not win it. But we carried it. We pushed. We did it. And that got us where we are today. So it's a game like the Colts that you don't think is such a big game. But for all my years of football, I see that as an advantage for the Eagles to use that as a benchmark. Because look, they're a good team and they're pretty well coached too, right? And they've got some decent talent. But it was a game that we still won. We had to come from behind, and we won late in the game. So that is a very, very positive thing. We're down to our final few minutes, folks. It's been a fast hour, and I want to thank you for putting up with me. And my throat clearing and my scratchy voice, things are getting better on that front, by the way. My sleep is not. I'm still Mr. Broken Sleep, but that's a conversation for a different time and place. However, we're coming into the final few minutes of the show. If you have any points to make, 657-383-1614. The Indianapolis Colts game was a game that you could watch and not pull a lot out of, unless you knew what to look for, or unless you were to put the pieces together, or unless you were to look for a pattern, or unless you were to notice something a bit unusual. But it was there. It's there every game. And we just performed and executed. We've got a good team, guys. We've got a very, very good team. I had some doubts after we lost some key people, including Frank Reich. I thought, what do we do? How do we replace a coach like that? How do we replace some of the guys that we lost that were key guys? They were backups, but they performed very well when they had the opportunity. And you just hate to lose guys like that, because now you got to find guys like that all over again. And they're not very visible. They don't wear T-shirts that say, I'm really a one, but I'm, you know, I'm in a backup role, so pick me. So a game like the Colts, you just have to keep your eye on what they're doing and how they're doing it, why they're doing that. Why is Carson doing that? Why are we playing two tight ends so much? Where's our wide receivers? What's the linebackers doing as the defensive line, Cox and Barnett, crush the play at the line? How are we covering and defending the short field over the defensive line? You have questions, and you don't always get that from the clips on the replays. So that's why I want to try and get in somebody that really understands the game, who coaches NFL players, because they could tell us a little bit about that type of strategy and maybe some keys to look for. So, closing notes. We're in the final 3 minutes here. We had a good turnout at Tampa Delphi again. I want to thank you for that. It's personally very rewarding. We are family. But we're a chosen family. We choose to have each other as family. It's great to see some familiar faces come back. And I want to give a shout out to a couple of folks that, gosh, there's a few regulars that are missing due to travel. I know they were up in Philadelphia at the game. And it'll be good to get them back. And then there's others that have picked up the NFL ticket. I wish your faces are missed, believe me. I have a memory that is quite good, quite strong. I can tell who's been there before by scanning the faces at the bar. And a new face pops out at me. And an old face, a familiar face, is recognized, even if it was from years ago. But Tampa Delphia keeps growing and getting bigger. I think we're doing it right, because it's all about us. My mantra on that. My mantra is basically, we work hard. You know, Philly people do. It doesn't matter what you do. If you do a good job at your job, you work hard. And you're immersed in it. You have focus. And you have performance. And you have your problems that you're facing. You have, you know, your challenges, you have your deadlines and pressures, you have your idiots in your way, your fools, your bosses that really don't know what's going on. You've got all the obstacles, right? So by Friday, by the weekend, you're ground out. I mean, you're toast. You just want to hide. Give me 3 hours to watch my team and, like, clear out my head. Just give me something good to eat and drink so I can relax and cheer and enjoy the sport. And that's where I come in. That's what we do. No dues, no fees, no cover. It's not designed to be anything but fun, folks. And if you can make it on out, we'd love to have you. Really, it's all about us. It's all about for us and because of us. Life is fast and it's not fair. Maybe I can make a difference. So I want to thank you for tuning in again. And also for showing up. It means a lot. We don't sell a lot of stuff at our place. I don't want to prey on Eagles. I don't want to prey on Eagles fans. I don't want to turn it into a bazaar or a commercial thing. It's not all about money. It's all about us. And people that are with us understand that. I know the people that have been with us understood it over the years. And, we roll back some things and we roll forward other things that are a little bit more group oriented. But anyway, we'll see what else we can do to make it a refreshing season for us. Thank you, one and all. I am going to sign out for tonight. I've had my time. My episode is just about over. And I have to produce another radio show tonight in just a half an hour. So God bless all. Thank you. Where we go one, we go all. Take care. Good night. And thank you.